final series in Radical Grace. And as I've been teaching this series, it's been more teaching than preaching because I've been really trying to put it into our spirit. And hopefully by the time I finish today, we'll see how important it is. And so let's give us our theme scripture that we've been working with for the last 4 weeks. And it's John 1:14. It says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so we talked about how that God, when he came, when he sent his son was the Word made flesh, and he came full of grace and truth. And so we've been focusing on grace because God puts grace first and then truth. And so then we've also been giving you the definition for radical, which is relating to or affecting the fundamental nature of something. And this is what we've been focusing on, far-reaching or thorough. So when we say radical grace, we're saying a grace that is far-reaching and thorough. And then when we say grace, this is what grace is. And this is the definition we've been working from: a gift from the Heavenly Father given through his Son, Jesus Christ. The first point, it is a gift. The word grace, as used in the scriptures, refers primarily to enabling power and spiritual healing offered through the mercy and love of Jesus Christ. We said this every week and we'll say it again. If mercy and love had a baby, its name would be grace. Through his grace, the Lord enables those who live his gospel to repent and be forgiven. So the whole premise is that without the grace of God, we cannot live a saved, effective Christian life. And what we're saying is that his grace actually trumps our mistakes, trumps our sins, trumps our addictions. It is his grace that empowers us to move from one place to another in God, and ultimately having deliverance. And so we worked through six different D words. And so I'll give them to you real quick. Number one was dispensations. We let you know that we are in a grace dispensation. Two was discipleship. And so the point of discipleship is knowing that just because you have grace, you don't want to be lazy and not transition into discipleship. Let me give you just a little bit about that. Many Christians, they believe in Jesus, accept Jesus, but where they fell short of is discipleship, growing into the person that God wants you to be. I'm not satisfied in life if I'm the person I want to be. I'm satisfied in life if I'm the person that God intended for me to be. In order for me to get from one place to the next, I need to be disciples. So discipleship. And then we talked about number three, dialogue. That sometimes when you're in your mess, you need to talk to God. That's what she was telling us about, knowing that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Sometimes you have to dialogue with God to get to that place. And then we went through the doctrine of grace. And then we showed you of the dominion of grace, that sin will not dominate you when you're under grace. And then we talked about the dividends of grace, what grace pays out. And we ended with this, the scripture that says the wages of sin is death. Sin pays out death. Sin will not take away your salvation. Many people think it does. Sin won't take away your salvation because grace can cover that. But what sin does, it pays out death. And if you stay in a sinful state, it robs you from the grace, and then you begin to die, and then you do not access eternal life. And I'll say it, I said it before, and I'll say it one more time. It doesn't make sense to go to hell from the church. It doesn't make sense to have sin and then try to hide it and try to play games and try to be a hypocrite and end up going to hell from the church. You're wasting your time coming to church playing games. You might as well stay out there. But if you're going to be in here, don't allow sin to rule your life and think, oh, just because I made some mistakes, I can't come back to God. No, sin will not, it cannot take over you, but you have to understand it does pay out death. But then the next part of the verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so as you begin to wrestle away from sin into the arms of God, you receive eternal life. You receive life in this age and then in the age to come. When you cross from one life to the next, the scripture says that those who believe God, they actually never die, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when we die, we transition right into the arms of our Savior. We transition right into the heavenly realms. And so we don't want to stay stuck in sin. We want to move with grace so that we can access eternal life. All right, so that leads us to Radical Grace Part 4. Somebody say Part 4.
Part 4.
Part 4 is going to center around diversion. So our last D is diversion. So what is diversion? Let's put the definition of diversion up. It is the act or an instance of turning from or straying from a course, activity, or use. Another synonym for diversion is distraction. So when we're understanding the grace message, the grace idea, understanding that sin doesn't keep us away from heaven. If we learn how to fall into his amazing grace, God will get us through things. But then what happens is Satan only has one thing left. Here's the thing. If Satan can get you to sin and your sin makes you leave the church, he wins. If Satan can get you to sin and your sin makes you run the church, he loses. So when he gets you caught up in stuff and instead of you giving up, you run back to God, he didn't have a lot left. He I always say Satan always overplays his hand. But what he has left is diversion. In other words, what I have to do is I can't get you away from the church, but what I have to do is divert your attention away from grace and now divert it to works. In other words, I start believing I'm saved based on rules and regulations, which we call that religion. Instead of I'm being saved based on grace, which we call relationship. So what happens is there are a lot of church people that come to church. Satan can't keep them from church. So what he does, he allows them to come to church. But what happens is they get the big head and think my salvation is based on what I'm doing positively. In other words, if I'm reading the Bible and if I'm not drinking and I'm not clubbing and all that, I'm saved. And everybody else who's not doing it like I'm doing it, they're going to hell. I'm cracking heaven wide open. So that's how he tricks us. He tricks us with diversion, because what happens is he's diverting our attention away from God and putting it on us. And there are a lot of Christians who are, I don't want to say this word, but let me say it this way. There are a lot of Christians who are worthless because they're not worthless in themselves. We all have worth and value, but they're worthless to the kingdom of God because they can't allow anybody else to enter into the kingdom because only them is going to be saved. You got to get delivered like I got delivered. You got to be baptized like I got baptized. You got to do it like I did it. And if people don't do it like they did it, they conclude in their mind that they aren't saved. And so what that does, that keeps them from reaching out to people. So what it makes them worthless. See, if you're not leading anybody else to Christ, you're actually a worthless Christian. You have worth and value in you, but nobody is getting to God through you because you don't have a strong testimony. All right, so that's going to lead us to the book of Galatians. And to give us a little bit of background with Galatians, Paul traveled through Galatia. And when he traveled through Galatia, he began to teach them the message of grace. And they got saved. They got delivered. Things begin to happen. You have to understand that they were Gentiles. They didn't know nothing about Jesus. They didn't know nothing about the law of God. They heard the message about a man dying and rising again and having power. And you can put your faith, your hope, and your trust in him. And when you die, you will resurrect to life. And people believed that and got saved. Now, that's basically the same thing we're doing. We're teaching the same thing. We're not Jewish people. We're teaching regular folk to believe in Jesus. So Paul did that. And so in the city of Galatia, a lot of people got saved. A lot of people begin to believe in this God that they couldn't see. You have to understand that in Greek culture, they were used to mythological gods and they were used to serving different things. And there could be a sun god. There could have been, they had the Zeus's and all those things. But when Paul began to talk to them about a real man coming and a real man dying and a real man rising again, and you can put your faith and hope in them, some of them, they really put their faith and hope and it changed their life. But the problem was some worthless Christians got in the way. All right, let's read Galatians 1:6. It says this: I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. What is Paul talking about? Well, this is what happened. After Paul left that region, there were some Christians from Jerusalem. Now, the Jerusalem Christians were Jews by nature. So they went through the law and they had all these rituals and they had all these rules and regulations. And so when they heard about the people in Galatia, heard about them getting saved, they went to visit. But when they went to visit, they were doing stuff different than the way they did it. So what they start telling them, oh, you're not saved. You're not really saved because you're not doing it like I do it. In our day and age, it's kind of like this. How were you baptized? If you weren't baptized how I was baptized, you don't got it like I got it. Do you speak in tongues? Well, I don't believe in speaking in tongues. Well, I believe in it. You don't got it like I got it. So what they were doing, they were messing up these people's faith with their tradition, with their stuff, with their denomination, with their my way or the highway. And here's the thing, that makes them worthless Christians because what they were doing, they were messing up people who had believed by faith. Just because God delivered you this way doesn't mean that's how he's going to deliver me. Just because God took alcohol out of my mouth immediately doesn't mean somebody going through a 12-step program is wrong. Allow people the space for God to work the way he wants to work with them specifically. And so that's what they were doing. So Paul, when he came back to write to the Galatians, he was like, I'm astonished that you allow somebody to get you twisted up. Let's look at verse 7. Which really is no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. I don't know if you've ever been around some Christians. By the time you get done talking to them, you're confused. They got so many rules and regulations. They got so much stuff. You got to do it this way. And some of them say you can only read from one Bible. Only the 1611 King James Version Bible is right. I had somebody tell me I was preaching out of the wrong Bible because I was preaching from the NIV. So I'm sending people to hell. You know what you're doing? You're confusing me. I thought I was doing good, but here you come with your stuff. With your confusing stuff. Let me see if I can give you another example. You ever worked with somebody and you were told that they were going to send somebody to train you and you was trying to do it by yourself, but by the time they get done training you, you're so confused. They added so much stuff. And here's the problem with Christian people. We forget how simple the gospel message is. We forget how simple it is. Put your faith and your hope in Jesus. His grace will wash you, clean you, save you. He'll do it in his time. He'll do it his way. But one day you'll be what he wants you to be and you'll cross from this life to the next. But allow some Christian to tell you they confuse it all. Well, are you part of the Reformation? Are you Catholic? Are you Baptist? I love Jesus. I don't want you to confuse me with a whole bunch of junk. Well, you can't go to church unless you wear a suit to church. What if I want to wear Timberlands to church? What if I want to wear a turtleneck? Why do we have all these rules that are not in the Bible? Because man messes stuff up. And so Paul was trying to bring the Galatians back to what they started. And he said, there's no other gospel than the gospel of Christ. Verse 6 says the gospel of the grace of Christ. Verse 7 says the gospel of Christ. Verse 6 says the grace of Christ. Verse 7 says the gospel of Christ. Verse 6 says the grace of Christ. Verse 7 says the gospel of Christ. When you put the two together, what do you get? You get the gospel of grace. There is no other gospel than the gospel of grace. What does gospel mean? Gospel means the good news. The good news of grace. Whose grace? The grace of God. What this means is all of us deserve hell. Every single one of us, including myself, deserve hell. But the good news is God's grace is so awesome. It's his unmerited favor. It gives you what you do not deserve. And when you put your trust in him, you get the gift of his grace. And his grace is not a one-time thing. His grace will keep you. Here's the thing. There's nobody that can keep you out of God's hand but you. When you accept Christ, you are going to heaven. I know you're going to fail. You're going to backslide. You're going to mess up. But all you got to do is get up. Dust yourself off and try again. If at first you don't succeed, try again. But what folk tell you, if you do this, you ain't saved. You had sex and you weren't married, you ain't saved. I'm not saying that's not sin, but that doesn't mean it costs you your salvation. Get up and do better. Get up and try again. You smoke dope, you smoke weed, you're not saved. Well, get up and try again. We have the gospel of grace, which is the good news of how his grace will work with us until we get it right. I'm so glad I didn't get kicked out of the kingdom, because I done messed up since I've been saved. I done messed up since I've been a pastor. I done messed up since I've been preaching. I'm so glad that there is the gospel of grace, the good news of God's grace. I'm so glad that God chose me. God wanted me. God died for me. God will wash me. God will deliver me. God will clean me. God will fix me up. God will turn me around and set my feet on solid ground. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I'm grateful for the gospel of grace. Didn't always understand the gospel of grace. When I was growing up, I grew up in a Pentecostal, charismatic, legalistic church. That's one way to dress up. I grew up Church of God in Christ. And in Church of God in Christ, in our church, you do anything, you're not saved no more. So as a young man growing up, I got saved every summer. Whenever we had a little youth revival, I'd get saved. And the reason why I had to get saved every summer, because I would do something later that made me think I wouldn't save no more. So one time, I remember I went to the altar and I got saved. I was probably around 15 or 16 years old. 2 weeks later, somebody asked me and said, "Are you saved?" I said, "Nope." They was like, "Well, you just got saved 2 weeks ago." I said, "Well, I said a cuss word in between them 2 weeks. So in my mind, I wasn't saved because I cussed." That's how they taught us. In other words, God's grace wasn't big enough. We had to do it on our own. If you make one mistake, if you do something wrong, if you listen to something wrong, you're not saved. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It is a diversion from the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace says, "I'm going to clean your cussing self up. I'm going to clean your fussing self up. I'm going to clean your crazy acting self up, but I'm going to give you my grace to do it." You can't do it by yourself. You need his grace. You need his mercy. Great is his faithfulness to us. We got to liberate people. Stop making people think that once I got saved, I never made a mistake in my life. Quit telling a lie. You're going to make a mistake when you leave here right now. But the gospel of grace will put you back on track if you let it. And the problem with the legalistic message is that then if you wanted to be saved, you just had a fake church. You had to act like you didn't cuss when you was cussing. You had to act like you wasn't drinking when you was drinking. You had to act like you wasn't sexing when you was sexing. You had to act like you was doing stuff that you wasn't. You had to act like you were better than what you were. We ended up with a whole bunch of pretense. I don't mean to just beat up the old church, because some of them, they had a lot of power. They knew a lot of things. But back in when I was growing up, you couldn't go to movies. Movies was the world. Movies was sin. But saints had HBO. And they went to Blockbuster. So it was a sin to go see it, but not a sin to rent it and put it in and watch it on your TV. Does that make sense? But they didn't understand the gospel of grace. God is not trying to think, "Oh, I'm kicking you out. I'm kicked." That's not how he thinks. He's trying to love everybody. All right. So Paul was trying to remind them. Let's go back to the scripture. Let's go to Galatians 1 and 8. And this is what Paul says. I find amazing. He says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse." He said, even if an angel come preaching you something different, don't even believe it. I don't care if you have supernatural stuff. I don't care if you see miracles. There's only one gospel, and it's the good news that if you trust in God, God got you. And God will work on you, and God will take you where you need to be. Now, you can't be stubborn, because you may not grow to who you need to be. You can end up being one of those worthless Christians I'm talking about. You do need to grow. You do need to get better. You shouldn't be the same Christian 10 years from now. There should be some discipleship. But the truth of the matter is, there is only one thing you need to do. Put your faith and hope in him. And I know I'm preaching to y'all. Y'all already at church. So y'all act, obviously you have some relationship with God. But the reason why I'm telling you is so you can tell somebody else. Because there's other people who won't come to God because they're afraid that God won't accept them like they are. But God loves you like you are. God accepts you like you are. He won't leave you like you are, but he will take you like you are. The church is a hospital. If I was going to the hospital and my arm was hanging off and I was bleeding and the hospital said, sorry, you're too dirty. I can't do nothing for you. Go home and clean all the blood up, sew your arm together, and then come back and we'll take care of you. That's what the church does. Go, don't come back until you got it right. But the devil is a lie. The reason why they don't have it right, because they don't know God. So when they come messed up and they come jacked up and they come confused, point them to the good news of God's grace. And then be bold enough to tell them the truth. You know what? I was in your same situation. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. But I can't get over this. I can't stop. I've been dealing with this. Oh, baby, don't worry about it. I was dealing with that too. But one day, God going to turn you around. Now, you need to follow these steps and this steps, but God going to fix it up for you. Don't you give up on God. Put your hands in God's unchanging hand. Encourage people to hold on. Here's the thing that's so awesome. What helps us live the Christian life and be effective is when we have somebody else to encourage us. In my lowest points, I've heard people say, you know what? I see God using you. See, I didn't know that God was using me. I thought I was failing. The devil was telling me, you're no good. You were worthless. You ain't worth a dime. But somebody said, I see God using you. I'm so glad somebody encouraged me and somebody told me, stay in the fight. And somebody told me, don't you quit. God's hand is on your life and God gonna take you from one level to the next. I'm so grateful for the gospel of grace and somebody to encourage me in it. But in the meantime, I also had people tell me all this, that, and you're not going to heaven because this, that, and the other. I remember I was working on my job, and I was in a place where there was a whole lot of junk going on, a whole lot of just foolishness, a lot of drama. It was one of those departments that had a whole lot of drama. I bump into a guy who was reading his Bible. I was like, thank God. I found somebody I can connect to. I can move away from all this drama. I went and talked to him and told him, I go to church. My dad's a preacher. My grandfather was a preacher. And maybe we can, you know, spend some time together on break. He said, how were you baptized? I said, I was baptized Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He's like, well, you're not really saved. Let me. You're the one person I thought I could connect to, and you're the only one that reject me. Everybody who was having drama, they loved me and treated me right. I just didn't want to be in their drama. But when I found one Christian, he said, you ain't saved because you didn't do it my way. That's what's wrong with us. If you don't do it my way, you ain't got it. But that's not the gospel of grace. All right, let's continue to read. Verse 9. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody, that includes your pastor, is preaching to you a gospel other than that, what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Verse 10, am I now trying, and here's the point, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. This was the truth of the matter is these other people, these Jews that came over and was trying to change the Galatians, they had a lot of prestige. They were high up in religious circles. And what Paul said is, now I'm not changing to please some folk. I'm not changing to please you. And just like I told you about that guy that I bumped into and he had all these rules and regulations, guess what I did? I distanced myself from him and stayed with the folk that had the drama and tried to change some of them. Because I would rather please God than please man. Now he looking at me saying, I'm not saved. And then once I went back and was witness to people, he was telling other people, you know, he ain't saved. You know this. And I didn't worry about it. It didn't make me mad because I'm not trying to please you. You can't put me into heaven. You can't put me into hell. So why would I give two flips about what you say about me? I know what God has done for me. You can't tell me I'm not saved. I know what the Lord has done for me. And stop letting people rob you of your deliverance based on their tradition. You ain't got to be ugly. You ain't got to be mean. But you can be like Frozen and let it go. Let it go. I got to let you out of my life. I know what God has done for me. And there's no devil in hell or no devil in church that's going to stop me from getting what God has for me. Verse 11. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origins. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. It's good to come to church. It's good to read your word. It's good to have a commentary. It's good to even go to seminary and schools where they teach theology. It's even good to look on the internet and see all that. But after you do all that, you need a revelation from God. You need God to talk to you, because what you can do is you can use the Bible to say anything you want it to say. You can use the people have used the Bible. Let me just be blunt. Folk use the Bible to keep us in slavery. You can use the Bible to do whatever you want. The scripture says that when Isaac saw Rebecca, that he lighted off the camel. I can use that and say, God wants me to smoke cigarettes. He lighted off the camel. It's old English. It really means he got off the camel. But I can use it and say, I'm going to smoke camel cigarettes, because that's what the Bible said. I can use the Bible to smoke weed as soon as it gets legal, because the Bible said he is the most high God. And since he's the most high God, I'm going to smoke as much as I want. You can use the Bible to say whatever, but when you have a revelation from God, he shows you what it's really supposed to be saying. So listen to me. Yes, read your word, but get alone with God and say, God, reveal to me what you are saying. Because the word that hit Sharitha is not going to hit Donald the same way. What God is saying to Donald, he's not saying to Sharitha. So they need revelation, because what he's saying from me is coming with one sound, but it has two different messages. So you have to say, God, reveal it to me. And you cannot get revelation doing what everybody else is doing. You have to have a disciplined life and a prayer life to get true radical revelation. But revelation changes everything. Now, Paul was not a disciple of Jesus, because he was not walking with Jesus at the time. He didn't believe in Jesus even after Jesus raised from the dead. But later on, when God transformed him, he became a disciple, an apostle of Christ, not based on what men did, but based on revelation. And so he said, I'm not going to try to please them. And even some of the other disciples that walked with God, they were actually in Jerusalem at that time. So Paul said, I know these people walk with Jesus physically, but I got a revelation. I'm not going to let nobody strip from me. All right, let's put this up. It's foolish to change a revelation from God because people are trying to divert you to doing it their way. But they didn't get the revelation, so pleasing them is foolish. Here's the thing. God doesn't reveal everything to everybody, like I just said with the example with Donald and Sharitha. So you cannot try to please people who don't have the same revelation you have. You're doing something, and somebody says, I wouldn't do it that way if I was you. But God didn't tell them, God told you. So you follow God and don't allow somebody to change you. You got some folk in your family telling you, I wouldn't do this when God called me out of college. I had family members that said, you're making a huge mistake. Now, it's funny how family members forget what they said later on in life when you're successful and God is blessing you. Ooh, I was with you 100%. No, you wasn't. You told me. But you ain't got to bring all that up. Just keep on doing what God told you to do. I had somebody 2 weeks before my marriage point their finger in my face and say, you are marrying the wrong girl. Now, 20 years later, they love me and my wife. You cannot let somebody stop the revelation you had. I didn't get mad at them. I did wonder, why are you going to wait 2 weeks before the wedding? If you got such a revelation, why wouldn't you tell me a long time ago? But sometimes people get in their flesh and they speak out of their flesh. And they even add Christian words even in their flesh. Thus saith the Lord God. You are in the wrong church, and God said, you just let it go right over your head, because that's not the revelation that God gave me. I don't care how many V's and thou's, I don't care how many times you spin around at foam in the mouth. I know what God told me, and I'm holding on to what God told me, because I'm not trying to please man, I'm trying to please God. Now, the person that told me that, they was mad at me for a while, but they love me now because I just stayed course and did what God wanted me to do. So don't let anybody divert you. And always remember, don't get mad at the people. It is Satan trying to use diversion to get you away from the gospel of grace. All right, let's look at Galatians 3:1. Paul gets a little deeper with it. He says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." Next verse. "Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" He was taking them back. And this is basically what happened when Paul taught them about Jesus and they put their faith in Jesus. They had a spiritual experience. They had the sign of speaking in tongues back in that time. And then these other people come from Jerusalem, tell them, "You got to do this." Because remember, the Jews had all these rituals, and they start doing those rituals thinking that's going to make them saved. And so Paul said, "Did you get the Spirit by believing or by the rituals? Which one? How did you get the Spirit?" All right, the next verse says what? "Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? If you started in this spiritual way, then why are you trying to go over to this fleshly way?" So basically what he's saying is there is a temptation in all of us that we receive God out of a spiritual experience and then we trivialize it into things that we can do with our flesh. Because as humans, we like to be in control. So for example, let me use the example of sex. Let me use this sex example. I'm a single Christian. And I'm trying to get through my single Christian life without fornication. And so what Paul is saying is the same God you believe to save you, you believe him to help you in your singlehood. But what religion says is what you got to do, you got to do this. You got to get a purity ring and a purity tattoo. There's nothing wrong with that if the Spirit tells you to do it. But a lot of times you get in your flesh, "I'm going to fast 75 days so I can break this sex demon." What's going to happen? You're going to be sick, you're going to be hungry, and you're still going to be having sex once you get off of that fast. Because it's not in your spirit, it's in your flesh. And once we can figure that out, God never gave us the job to save ourselves. God gave us a job to believe in him, to work things out. The Bible says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it is him who works in you the will and do of his good pleasure." Basically, what he's saying is, "I'm going to change your appetites over time, so allow me to work on you and stop trying to do it yourself. Stop trying to fix it yourself. You are not Holy Ghost Junior. You are not Calvary's cross. You can't save yourself. If you can save yourself, you would have done it a long time ago." So what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to trust in the grace of Christ. Now, when you trust in the grace of Christ, the first thing Satan does is stir up whatever you're trying to work on. If it is something like the sex thing, then everything's going to be tempting you. Everybody's going to be coming. People you ain't heard from in a long time going to be texting you at 2 a.m. in the morning saying, "I'm in town." Everything is going to come at you, but you just keep on believing God. Even if you make the mistake, you keep on believing God. Because if you try to do it in yourself, all you're going to do is frustrate yourself to the point where you don't think you have anything, and you're going to walk away from God, and you're going to walk away from church. And guess what? Satan's going to say, "I got him. Nope. I'm going to lean in God." But you're lusting. But guess what? I'm leaning into God. If I could have quit lusting, I would have done it long time ago when my hormones first started changing and raising. I can't fix me. I can't stop this. But I know a God who loves me like I am, and he won't leave me like I am. And I'm coming back to God, and I'm apologizing to God, and I'm repenting to God, and I'm going to have somebody to hold me accountable. I'm not going to try to do this by myself. But what other Christians do, they hide it. "How you doing? I'm blessed of the Lord and highly favored." But you're struggling with addiction right now. "I'm blessed of the Lord and highly favored. Never been better in my life. God is good all the time." Quit all that lying and tell somebody the truth. I'm struggling. The devil is after me. Demons are after me. Stuff in my past is coming back. But I believe no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm going through and it hurts right now, but I believe God's gonna take me out of this. He gonna bring me out of this. I believe that God is able to do it. If he can make the sun crack through the clouds, he can touch my life. I don't know how I'm coming out, but I believe. God, will you pray with me? Will you hold me accountable? Will you call me and check on me? Just be real honest. My ex is back in town. And I can't stand his guts. But I seen him in the gym and he was looking good. Whew. Sweat glistening all over his body. Will you pray for me? Because he might be good to me, but I know he's not good for me. I know he'll break my heart and he'll trample my heart. But right now, I'm being tempted. Will you pray for me? Can I talk to you? And when they talk to you, will you say, you just need to get saved? If you got saved, you wouldn't go through all that. Saved folk go through the same stuff as everybody else because we're human, but we have the grace of Jesus Christ. That'll help us get it right if we want to get it right. And one thing I've learned, a lot of people don't want to get it right. Now let me talk to some of y'all who are trying to help people. You need to understand, some people will listen to you, talk to them till you're blue in the face, but they don't want you to help them get it right because they're not planning on getting it right. They just want somebody to dump all their junk on. When you done try to help them and they don't want to do right, you move on and try to help somebody else. All right, but we don't have none of those people in this church, amen? Galatians 3:5 says what? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or hearing with faith? Galatians 3:6, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Before there was a Christ to die on the cross, the Bible says Abraham believed God and God said, you're right. Based on how he believed. Abraham was in around his family and God told him to move and go to a land that I will show you. Abraham stepped out in faith on a blind promise that he couldn't see. And God said, that's the kind of folk I want. That you are right based on that. But then after Abraham, Moses came and the law came to give them some context. But they began to believe more in the law than they believed in faith. So now he said, just as Abraham believed and counted for righteousness, you need to believe. Next verse, verse 7. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. If you've been in church all your life, you heard this song, Father Abraham had many sons. Had many sons had Father Abraham. Well, we are a son of Abraham when we operate in faith. In other words, when we believe we're righteous, even when we're not acting righteous, even when we're not feeling righteous. Do you know that you don't wake up feeling saved every day? I don't wake up feeling like a pastor every day. I wake up mad at the world and don't know how I got mad at the world. But I got to still allow God to bring my flesh under the subjection and I'm still saved. With my angry self, I'm still saved. I just got to bring that flesh under subjection. Don't think because you have a feeling that you are no longer saved. Let me put it to you this way. Feelings are like gas. They will pass. They're not going to last always. They'll pass and you will feel better. Feelings come. Emotions. Part of the word emotions is the word motions. Emotions are designed to move you. So you have to learn how to not be moved by your emotions. Do you know I love my wife with all my heart, but every day I don't feel like loving my wife? But I have to love her not based on how I feel. I have to love her based on what's in me. There's love in me for her, so I got to dig down and love her. When my kids are acting crazy, I love them, but I don't feel like being father of the year right there. I got to learn how to have patience and grow. Just because it's a feeling doesn't mean you don't have what God says you have. But many times you have to dig deep enough to pull it up out of you. We want this Christian life to be like magic. We want everything to be okay. I'll wave my hand and say a prayer. All my enemies go away. That's not reality. Folk gonna lie on you. They gonna talk about you. Family gonna be mean to you. Your boss gonna act ugly with you. Folk gonna cut you off in traffic and you still gotta live saved. People in your house gonna eat the pie that had your name on it and you still gotta live saved. You have to learn how to overcome all of that and dig down deep and say, God, I'm saved. Now, just because you're saved doesn't mean you don't confront people and talk to people about how they're treating you. But just because, but what the devil tries to make us feel like is if we feel something, we're no longer saved. Throw all that junk out. You are saved as long as you want to be. If you want to be saved, you are saved. Even when the devil does something to us. Do you have to understand something? It is the devil's job to distract us. So just get back to your square. Just get back on point. You can keep doing it. When you're in a fight, I was watching a little bit of the fight last night between Canelo and that other fella, and both of them were getting hit. I don't even know who ended up winning, but you're in a fight. You are going to take some shots. The devil is going to hit you. You're going to do some stupid stuff in your salvation. But guess what? Just because you lost a round, you don't have to lose the fight. Get up and swing again. The worst fighter is a fighter that stops swinging. The worst fighter is a fighter that won't get out of the corner. You cannot win if you stop swinging, and you cannot win if you don't come out of the corner. Get yourself up and swing again. Tell the devil, you're not going to have me. You're not going to have my family. You're not going to have my mind. You're not going to have my life. You're not going to have my money. I'm swinging. I'm fighting, and I'm going to win in the end, because victory belongs to Jesus, and Jesus lives in me. Are you going to have to forgive? Yes. Are you going to have to apologize? Yes. Are you going to have to do things different? Yes. But you still can win because of the grace of Jesus Christ. All right, next verse, and I'm coming to a close. For those of you who have never heard me preach, I have about 18 closings, so don't get excited. Coming to a close. Galatians 3 and 8 says what? And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And this is what Paul was saying. These Jerusalem Christians were telling the Galatian Christians they were doing it wrong. And so he was reminding them it was from the Jerusalem Christians, from the Jews where Abraham came. But the original message is, from you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Guess what? When you understand, and the original Greek gives us the word the ethnos. All the ethnos will be blessed. I don't have to do church like white folk do church. And we both can be saved. I can do it different. If I want to holler and scream and I want to dance and buck and sweat, I can do that. If they want to sit and be quiet, they can do that, because all the ethnos can be blessed. We can do it all together. And when we learn that, then we don't have to be so racially segregated. We can come and do church together. If you do church quiet, I'm not coming and yelling. I'm going to do quiet church for you, because we serve the same God. But if you come to me and we get start yelling, don't be looking at me funny. You doing church like I do church. But all the families of the earth are blessed. If I go to a Spanish-speaking church, I shouldn't be mad if they don't speak English. I went to a Spanish-speaking church. Let them do church the way they do church. All the families of the earth can be blessed. I don't have to do it like you to get what God has for me. I don't have to look like you to get what God has for you. I don't have to vote like you to get what God has for me. Amen. I do not like Trump. And you may love him, and we still can work together. Now, when we get on it, I'm going to tell you why I don't like them. But that don't mean I got to throw you away, because we differ on something. We have to learn how to work together, because all the ethnos can be blessed. Everybody has a part in this, but we're so divided and we're so segregated. And we're so arrogant that if you don't do it my way, it's not right. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is the good news that everybody can find a place. You may have aborted 3 babies in your life, but you can find a place in this church. You may be homosexual, but you can find a place in this church. Because the grace that I'm talking about, it loves us all. Won't leave us like we are, but it loves us all the way where we are. And you can come and receive this grace. And you can lift your hands with, the Bible says, without wrath or doubting, because we all are together. If you don't look like me, you can lift your hands. If you don't act like me, you can lift your hands, because the same God loves us all. And we all came from the same loins. And the same gospel is for us all. It's hard to preach that in America right now, because America is we're so extreme. If I say Black Lives Matter, you got to say all lives matter. Why? Can we just agree on anything? I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. When will Christianity rise above all our classifications and all our this and that? When will Jesus be the center? We got so much junk, and it's not the real gospel. It's a bunch of mess. And Paul called it foolishness. Got a whole lot of foolishness in the church. But we are trying to be a church where we come together. The poor and the rich can worship together. The black and the white can worship together. The gay and the straight can worship together. We're going to work together and figure out how the gospel of grace can touch us all and grow us to where we need to be. All right. Actually, I only have a few more verses. Galatians 3:9. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. This gives us a key understanding. The reason why many Christians are not walking in blessings is because they're not doing it out of faith. They're doing it out of rules, regulations. They're doing it out of prestige. You really, I don't even think I'm communicating it correctly. You really have to sometimes even be around pastors the way I am. And all the stuff that goes on, and all the junk, and it's like a game. I have been around people that I thought I admired, and my stomach turned, hearing the stuff they said behind closed doors, and how they treat people like dollar signs, and they don't treat them like souls. And I'm thinking, my goodness, I thought you were after the same thing I was after. And even though they were more prestigious than me, and they can open more doors for me than me, they can open more doors for me, I walked away from them, because I don't want to get no mess. I don't want to have a bigger church and more money and a bigger house and a bigger car, and I'm doing stuff to people that I know is not right. I would rather give up preaching than to live some phony fake life and try to get people to do stuff that I know is not right. People who know God did not say give $1,000 seed, and they get up and tell people, we're going to give $1,000 seed because I need to raise $10,000 to build my office. You mean you're going to get up and tell 10 people to give $1,000 seed and God did not say that? You're going to purposely trick people to get money out of their pocket? I don't want nothing to do with you. That's not the gospel. The gospel is free. The gospel gives. And when the gospel gives to you, you give back to the gospel. And then you are blessed like faithful Abraham. All right, the last two things we're going to cover. The problem with letting religious people divert you from this radical grace is that it leaves you exposed to the curse. The problem with allowing people to turn you away from God's great love and his grace, it leaves you open to Satan's curse. Let's look at Galatians 3:10, and this is the final verse. The righteous shall live by faith. In the King James, it says the just shall live by faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. When you have your hope and your trust on do's and don'ts and denominations and all the things that divide us and all the things that separate us, you may be a Christian, but you're living under a curse. Nothing's really going to work right for you, really, because you're under a curse. Because the scripture says, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Here's the final point. The problem with the law is the law says you have to do it all. Every single bit, every jot and every tittle, in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven through the law, you have to do it all. If you miss one, you break them all. There's 613 laws in the Jewish law book. You can do 612 right. If you break one, you lose them all. But what grace says, I'm not going to hold you to 613 laws. Trust in me. Put your hope and your faith in me. I'll help you get through every law. And anytime you make a mistake, I'll wash it and clean it, and I'll fix it and grow you, and I'll keep you moving along. I don't know about you. I'm too messed up to keep 613 laws perfectly and correct. need his grace. And with his grace, I can receive the blessing of God. Come on, let's stand to our feet.